Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you cleaned out your garage or your attic lately? Or perhaps you have a little, like I do, a kind of a little utility room that's underneath the built-out back porch of your house. If you've cleaned out that area recently, and perhaps it's been a while since you've cleaned it out, maybe you've found some treasures that you forgot were hiding away in the corners or up in the loft of your garage. And perhaps as you dug around in those treasures, well, maybe you found that some of them actually really weren't treasures at all. You might have found the broken handle of a rusty old snow shovel. Maybe found the parts of a worn out lawnmower. Perhaps a box with some worn out electric razors that you haven't gotten around to throwing away or recycling yet. After you look through all those treasures, things that you've held on to for some time, well, you maybe realize that many of those things actually weren't really treasures after all. And then you might remember that some lives appear to be similar to some of those treasures that you found. They might appear to be good for nothing. Some lifestyles make life good for nothing. As we ponder that reality, and as we ponder God's word for us this morning, we realize that that is not at all what God has in mind for our lives as his followers. Rather, God has a high calling for us as believers in Jesus our Savior. He has called and commissioned us to be his ambassadors. In his great saving love, our Lord Jesus Christ came into this world and he lived a perfect life, perfectly obeying all of God's commands in our place. And then he offered himself as a sacrifice upon the cross to pay for all of the sins of the whole world. And on the third day after his death, he rose again in glorious triumph. He did this for the whole world, for all people, and no one is excluded from his forgiving love and salvation. In our reading from 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul writes that Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all and therefore all died. Christ, Jesus our Savior, died for all. As he did, he was carrying on his shoulders, on himself, the burden of the whole world's sin. As verse 21 of our reading says, God made him who had no sin, Jesus, to be sin for us. Jesus literally became sin. He didn't just symbolically or metaphorically take our sins upon himself. No, he literally became sin for us. So that in him, we might become the righteousness of God. Our status as well has totally changed from being sinful and condemned under God's righteous judgment to now being the very righteousness of God himself through God's gift of grace. Our sins were charged to Jesus. He carried them to death on the cross. He paid the debt of our sins completely. And all who believe that Jesus did that for them receive the gift of righteousness in God's sight. That is the true treasure that we as believers in God have. And so if you recall back to your youth confirmation class days, as our current confirmation students well remember, we say together with Martin Luther in his explanation to the second article of the Apostles' Creed, I believe that Jesus Christ has redeemed me with his holy, precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death, so that I may be his own and live under him in his kingdom and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. That is the essence of our Christian faith. That is the confidence that we have of a life that has been touched and transformed by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There is his love, pushing, drawing, and motivating us, compelling us to devote our lives to him. The Apostle Paul describes this life that is motivated by Jesus' love for us. In verse 1 of Ephesians chapter 5, he says, "Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." That is the motivation for our lives, the love, the self-sacrificing love of Jesus for us undeserving, sin-filled people. Remembering Jesus and all that he has done for us, all that he means for us, we are deeply moved. We're encouraged. We're motivated, compelled to live in such a way so that he is honored, pleased, and served. And so we see that Christian life is not selfish and self-centered. Just as we read about Jesus in verse 15 of our reading, that he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. Christian life is dedicated to Jesus Christ. It is not self-centered. It is not all wrapped up in ourself and our own desires and wants. Rather, its constant aim is to honor, serve, and please our Lord Jesus, our precious Savior who gave up his life to save us. Christian life is expended for the glory of Jesus, our Savior. He is to be honored and served. Christian life is dedicated to Christ. Think about that word, dedicated. To dedicate means to set something apart for a special purpose of service. So, for example, we dedicate a building. This church was dedicated to the glory of God and for the worship and education of, and training of God's people. We may dedicate or commission a ship, for example, for a special purpose. We dedicate books to those who have helped the author of the book in some way. Our lives as called people of God are to be dedicated to Jesus Christ, our Savior. They're set apart to honor and to serve him. We have only one life to live on this earth, and by comparison to eternity, that life is relatively short and fleeting. And this lifespan is dedicated to the service of God for the purpose for which he has called us. Only what we do ultimately for that purpose that Christ has called us to, only that truly will last for eternity. And there's another note in the Apostle Paul's words about the Christian life, the life that is dedicated to Christ. In verse 17, he says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come." Think about that. The old is gone. It's wiped out. It's erased. It's completely removed and taken away. In the Lord Jesus, a person who believes in him as Savior is a new creation, a brand new person, a new spiritual life in their heart. In the Apostle Paul's letter to the Ephesians, we have a similar thought in chapter 4. He writes, "You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, and instead to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." So we see that the Christian life is decorated with fruits of this new dedicated life. As Paul writes in Galatians chapter 5, "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." All those good virtues are things that God's Holy Spirit works in our hearts and in our lives and our actions, our words and our thoughts and desires, as he works in our hearts through his word, through the gospel message of forgiveness through Jesus. Consider these words of the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 4. He says, when he was imprisoned for preaching the gospel, he said, "As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love." Christian life is commissioned by God for special service. What a great truth we have here in the midst of the very often confused thinking of our society today. We see in many popular songs, in movies and TV shows, so very often the expression of a hopeless and despairing attitude towards life. What really is the meaning of life after all? It's just full of setbacks and frustration and despair. But that is not what God intended for his people. God gave us life, new spiritual life in Christ for a purpose. The redeemed people of God are commissioned to serve God in the mission that he has called us to. Paul writes in verses 18 and 19 of our reading, "All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ. I will pause there and think about what in the world does that word reconcile mean. Well, he goes on to describe it. Not counting people's sins against them. By forgiving our sins, God has reconciled us to himself, made us at one, in harmony, at peace with him, no longer under the wrath of his righteous judgment. And he goes on, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. Yes, we have a special commission, a special calling from our God to carry out this special task, this mission that our Lord has given to us. And consider the contents of this ministry of service. We are to share with other people around us in our lives that God in love has reconciled us, has made us his friends through Jesus our Savior. Now through Jesus, God no longer charges our sins against us. Instead, our sins have been placed on the record of Christ, and he has paid for them on the cross. That is the message of reconciliation that God has called on us to share with others around us. That is the wonderful truth of the gospel. Your commission from God and mine is to serve God and to serve other people as we share this eternal life-giving message with them. The Christian life is commissioned for service. We note that the Apostle Paul writes in verse 20 of our reading, "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." What a beautiful way that is for us to think about our lives. It's our privilege to join together with the Apostle Paul and with the other apostles as ambassadors for Christ, as his representatives. Think about it. Wherever you live, wherever you work, wherever you socialize, you are commissioned by God to be his ambassador. What a high and holy calling that is. What a great commission, literally, that we have. God calls other people to eternal life, to faith in Jesus their Savior, through us, through you and me, and his words that we share with others. God says to each one of us, "You are my witnesses. I call on you to give testimony about me, about what you have experienced in your life, the peace and the hope, the joy of forgiveness and salvation that God has brought into your heart that has changed your life. Testify about that to others around you." And so now we can say together with the Apostle Paul, as he says in our reading, we implore you, we beg you, we call on you, look to Jesus. See him as your Savior. He loves you. Our life as Christians has a special commission from God, a special calling and purpose from God. And this purpose is to share the eternal life-giving good news with others. Think about if you've ever been at a fancy hotel that has a little pond, a little fish pond, in perhaps the lobby or the entryway. Very often goldfish or very brightly colored fish are swimming around in that pond. Of course, they're there to kind of entertain the guests as they enter the hotel lobby. But very often they also have the purpose of kind of sucking the scum off of the sides of the fish pond as well. So they have kind of multiple purposes that they have been given. For us, God has created them to enjoy the beauty of their appearance and their colors, but they also have that rather lowly task as well of sucking off the scum and the algae and keeping their pond and the water clear. Think about ourselves and our own lives, and sometimes we might not feel the high and holy calling that we have. Sometimes we might feel rather instead the drudgery of our work, the burden of the challenges of our lives. But no matter what the circumstances you may feel, the feeling you might have from day to day, we can always come back to this truth of God's word and remember that we are ambassadors of our Savior Jesus, that our precious Redeemer has called us to this task. You have a high and holy purpose for your life. You have a commission. So how encouraging that is for us, even in the doldrums of life and the dull and dreary and weary days, how this truth can lift up our spirits. The Lord reminds us of this commission. He has a special place of service for each one of us to fulfill. He says to each of us, you are my servant. You are my ambassador. You represent me in your interactions with those around you. Our commission is to share the good news, the gospel. We also do this not only in our words, but also in our Christian example. The Apostle Paul writes about himself as being a letter to other people and the people to whom he has preached the gospel also as being letters, that they, in their very selves and in their very lives, that they convey a message to others. So he says, you show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. You and I also are letters for Christ. Think about the kind of letter, the message that we can carry to others. Maybe a message of love, reflecting God's love and care as we care for the people around us in our lives and seek to help them in whatever ways we can, especially by sharing the love and peace and joy of God's love through Jesus. The letter of our lives may be a letter of compassion. We look around us and we see people in great need, hurting, lonely, and suffering, and so we act to help. Our lives can also be a letter of forgiveness. You and I all sin. Others around us sin. And so what a treasure it is for us to be able to share with others the word, the message of forgiveness. Our lives may be letters of mercy. We ourselves have experienced mercy from our loving Heavenly Father. And now in His name and for His sake, we can offer mercy to others. Our lives may be a letter of hope. How desperately all of us need hope. How desperately all the people in the world around us need hope. So many people today seem to be living without hope and in despair. Yet here we are, called by God to carry out this mission of service to others. So we can be a letter for the Lord and offer hope and the comfort and encouragement that He gives to other people. Yes, the letter of our lives can reflect the glory of our gracious, loving God. That is our commission, to make known the good news of Jesus, our Savior, by our Christian example, by the kind of letter that we live out in our lives. We have a special commission from God for service. That service is to share Christ. It happens as we are eager to speak up for Him. The words of St. Peter in 1 Peter chapter 3 have a beautiful thought for us as he says, "In your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect." true life is offered to us by God, the God who loves us, the God who gave his own Son to be our Savior. This Christian life is motivated by Jesus, our Savior, dedicated to him and his service, commissioned for his service. We are ambassadors for Christ. Amen.